major changes are coming to the SAT college admissions test. Announced yesterday, the overhauled test would be put in place in 2016, meaning today's ninth graders would be the first group of students to take a crack at it.
Under the new test, students would not be required to write an essay, and a rule that deters random guessing is going away, too. Some see the changes as an attempt to keep pace with the ACT, which has been more popular in recent years.
Joining us now to talk about the updated test is Nick Anderson, higher education reporter at the Washington Post. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Well, this is the second time the SAT has gotten a redesign lately. Why now?
Well, the SAT, which is overseen by the College Board, is in a period of transition. Back in 2005, they added a required essay and writing section. They also did a number of other things to the test that year to change its format, change its focus. They made it a 2,400-point test instead of 1,600 points. Mm-hmm. It was longer. It went from 3 hours to 3 hours and 45 minutes. They advertised it then as sort of a way to kind of put the SAT more relevant into the classroom. But the funny thing happened was that the essay was got a lukewarm reception. It never really got a lot of traction in the college admissions community. A lot of college admissions officers looked at it kind of as not very significant in their overall thinking about applications. It's a 25-minute essay under time, and the College Board itself looked at the essay and said, it's not as substantial as we want it to be. It's not as good as we want it to be. So all those things were kind of floating around in people's minds for the last few years, and a new president of the College Board, his name is David Coleman, he came on board in 2012. He's one of the architects of the Common Core State Standards, which we can talk about in a second, that affects the K-12 system. Mm-hmm. Coleman came in to the College Board and said, let's do something about this. So what we see now is the result of his imperative to do something. It's a test that aims to be, in his words, sort of stripped of the tricks and much more straightforward and relevant, asking students to analyze evidence and come to the test knowing that if they've done the hard work in high school, that that's going to be assessed.
Well, and hearing his language as he speaks about it, he's talking about how the current test and past tests have advantaged kids from wealthier families,
right,
especially those who could afford test prep. He seemed really worked up about this. Why is that so important to him?
Well, folks in education, he's not the only one who thinks this is a huge issue. I mean, there's a lot of folks in education who are giving very hard thought to what to do to eliminate disadvantages that are grounded in people's household income and people's household education. You know, if your mom and dad went to college, that's a big predictor in whether you're going to college. If your mom and dad have household income above a certain amount, that's a big predictor in whether you might go to college. And, you know, so the SAT and the College Board and the ACT, for that matter, and colleges around the country are kind of scratching their heads and saying, well, what can we do about this? The thing that the College Board announced yesterday that really got a lot of people's attention is they are going to offer free test preparation through an online service called the Khan Academy. Now, most middle-class to upper-middle-class families feel squeezed with college test prep. They, you know, it's expensive, but they feel like they really need to lay down some money to send their kids to these test prep classes so that their kids can get a slightly better score. And if they get a slightly better score, well, that might be the thing that tips them into the slightly better college, into being accepted to those colleges. So there's this kind of economic imbalance in the test prep industry that's kind of built into the SAT and the ACT. And so the College Board yesterday announced this initiative that's aimed to try to redress that. Who knows if it'll work?
Let's get into some of the changes. You mentioned the essay is gone. You talked a little bit about why. Now, one of the changes involves guessing and less of a penalty for guessing on questions, I guess?
Yeah. Let me just correct the impression here. The essay is not gone. It's just been made optional.
The required essay, I should have said.
So there will be a lot of colleges that will still require it, and it's going to be 50 minutes, not 25. We can talk about that later, but the essay is not gone. It's just optional. So here's what they're doing with the scoring. In previous years and currently, if you guess on a multiple choice question on the SAT, you risk getting a penalty. Now, the SAT, the advice on this is if you can eliminate one of the multiple choice answers or two, then maybe it's worth making the guess. But if it's a random guess, you're not necessarily going to win by taking a random guess, because you get deducted 0.25 points for every wrong answer in the multiple choice sections. That's a difference, a key difference between the SAT and the ACT. The ACT doesn't have that kind of penalty. You just get credit for right answers. You don't get any deduction for wrong answers. So the College Board announced that they're getting rid of that. People I talked to today say, hey, this is a big relief, because, you know, that fear of getting a penalty for guessing, that kind of throws people off their stride as they're racing through a test. It adds a kind of psychological factor in the test that you don't necessarily want if you just want to be, you know, thinking clearly and as fast as you can.
Another change I've heard when I remember prepping for these tests, there are the SAT words you would only ever encounter in preparing for this test. The one I remember is inchoate, amorphous or not fully formed. Never had cause to use it outside of that test. Are they moving away from those words now?
Yeah, now they are very deliberately moving away from them. They're actually not putting out a list of words that they're getting rid of, which I think would probably be dangerous, because the English teachers of America would be up in arms, and a lot of other people would be. But you can probably guess at what some of these words are. I took a stab at trying to figure it out. I mean, the word phlegmatic, the word punctilious. Another English teacher suggested to me the word ambergris.
I mean, I want to use all these words.
Yeah, they're beautiful words. I do too. Matter of fact, I was pondering yesterday whether to put the word esoteric in my story, and an editor and I discussed it, and we thought, well, let's just replace that word and put in the word fancy. Because, you know, the point here is, and we writers deal with this all the time, is that, you know, language is best when it's simple and clear and understandable as writers. That doesn't mean you get rid of the fancy words, but you use them sparingly. And you don't want the fancy words to be barriers to people unnecessarily when something's as high stakes as whether they can get a good score for college. So that's the theory here, is to just strip the test of the super fancy, super arcane words, and have tough words still in the test, but tough words that are meaningful and that they're likely to encounter and use and wrestle with in school.
And then another change you mentioned: back in the day, the perfect score, the perfect game was 1600,
yeah.
And they're going back to that now. Why 2400 back to 1600?
Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about this. 1600 just echoes a lot in our society. People recognize that. The SAT has been, for most of its history, the dominant college test. And for most of that history, when it was the dominant college test, people just had an instant recognition of, 1600, wow, that's an amazing score. And, you know, it's recognizable. It's a brand, in a way. It's a brand builder for the SAT, the number 1600. It's not 1,600, it's 1,600. Mm-hmm. So people recognize it. Now, in 2005, when they added that required essay and they added the writing section in the required essay, they added 800 points, and all of a sudden perfection became 2,400, not 1,600. Not so many people recognize 2,400. Now, maybe they're starting to, but I think going back to 1600 is sort of a recognition on the College Board's part that 1600 is a recognizable and useful tool.
We're talking about the upcoming changes to the SAT college exams, which were just announced. Our guest is Nick Anderson, higher education reporter at The Washington Post.
And you can join in at 1-800-642-1234. What do you think of the changes to the SAT? Do you think they go far enough in addressing concerns that the test is shutting out less affluent students? And do you think tests like the SAT and the ACT are really the best measure of college preparedness? Maybe there's one you think is a better indicator. Call us at 1-800-642-1234, and you can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking with Washington Post education reporter Nick Anderson about the recently announced changes to the SAT college exam, including the removal of the requirement to do the essay and a return of the old perfect score, 1600.
You can join the conversation at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. What do you think about the changes, and what do you think of tests like the SAT and the ACT? Do they predict college success? And if not, what do you think we should be looking to? 1-800-642-1234. You can also post your thoughts on the Central Time Facebook page.
Nick, what's the reaction been to these changes since they were announced?
Well, there's a couple things. Number one, there's a fairly significant movement among some colleges to not require the SAT or the ACT, okay? So there's colleges out there. American University here in Washington is one I talked to, Wake Forest University, Bates College, and a number of others. There's a list that indicates maybe about 800 colleges admits a substantial number of students without requiring tests. Now, by no means is this the majority, but there's a movement out there. And so the folks who hear the SAT revisions, and they're coming from the point of view of that movement, they say, well, you know, you're just fiddling with something that, frankly, is just simply an obstacle. Why even use these tests? So that's one reaction. Another reaction is from the ACT, okay, which is the big rival.
The rival,
to the
SAT. Yeah.
And the ACT in your state, in Wisconsin, is far more widely used. Far more widely used. We're talking about like on an order of 20-1 in terms of the number of students who, for every 20 students, one who take the ACT, one's taking the SAT in Wisconsin. And there are a number of states around the country where this is the case, where the ACT has just simply locked down the market share. So, you know, the reaction from that quarter is kind of a shrug of the shoulders, like, okay, College Board, say what you want, but, you know, we're an ACT state. Or if you're the ACT, you might say, okay, College Board, say what you want, but we're the ACT, we're going to keep doing what we do.
Let's go to our callers. We've got Joe on the line in Prairie du Chien. Joe, hi.
Hi. So I graduated in 1970, and I think I took the Iowa Basic Skills Test. I assume it's similar to the SATs. And I don't recall any preparation for it. We just took the test. And what I think's happened is it's become a marker for the teaching ability of the district and the individual teachers versus a marker of how much the student has learned. Hmm. You know, it's almost like the preparation seems to me like cliff notes for the kids on how to, you know, how to pass the test. I think it's a problem for education.
Joe, thanks for the call. There's a couple different kind of tests there, I think he's talking about. But the rise of the concept of preparation in the industry around it, Nick.
Yeah. Well, the caller puts his finger on an interesting point, which is that really the most important test preparation is great schools. You know, great schools, great teaching, great, you know, strong learning. That's test preparation, you know. And a lot of the test prep firms, you know, they're very clear that their job is not to sort of deliver content. Their job is to kind of help students navigate the tricks. And as pressure has grown in college applications to certain selective schools, everybody's looking for the tricks. Everybody wants a little edge, you know, and they figure that if the SAT score goes up 20 or 40 points, or if their ACT score goes up a point or two, that that somehow that will be the magic edge that gets them in to whatever school it is. So that's why the test prep. But the caller is absolutely right that, you know, great teaching, great, you know, strong learning, that's the most important prep of all.
Before I let you go, when I took the SAT, it was a must-do, and the ACT for that matter. You had to do it if you were thinking of ever going to any college everywhere.
Yeah.
You mentioned more colleges moving away from requiring those. Is this discussion we're having going to become less and less relevant in the years to come?
Well, that's a great point. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to see these tests disappearing. It's maybe they will, but I doubt it. You know, a lot of the conversation about education in this country is driven by sort of the pursuit of the elite. People want to get into the very best schools, whatever those are and however they define them. And in order to do that, they have to apply. And in order to apply, there's many, many people who apply. And in order to differentiate all those applicants, colleges rely a little bit on test scores. Sometimes they rely a lot on them. And I don't see that going away. But there's some colleges that have explicitly made the leap to do so, and I think they're kind of trying to carve out a market niche. It's all about market position. And those colleges that are test optional, they're saying, hey, look at us. You know, you don't need to do all that stress. You can just, you know, be a great student with great grades and come to us.
Nick, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
We've been talking about the recently announced changes to the SAT with Nick Anderson, higher education reporter at The Washington Post.